A Boeing customer reports another Dreamliner delay. The Subsonics jet prototype makes its first flight. And the FCC has put LightSquared on hold. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 11th, 2011. With Boeing claiming to be ready to deliver the first customer 787 to all Nippon Airways in just a few weeks, one of the training flights made by ANA pilots flew into New Delhi's Indira Gandhi International Airport in India July 13th. It was the first landing by the new plane in that nation and generated some excitement in a market where Air India has been accumulating operating losses waiting for the plane, which is more than 3 years late to market. Now, a leading Indian business daily, Business Standard, is reporting Air India has been told by Boeing the delivery of its first Dreamliner has been pushed back another 2 months, from October to December. This time, Boeing is said to be blaming not labor unrest or supply chain issues, but the FAA. Business Standard says it has been told by a senior Air India official who spoke on the condition of anonymity, quote, "We have been informed that the first two 787s, which were to be delivered in October, will come in December because of delays in receiving clearances from the Federal Aviation Administration. The aircraft will be a great boon for us in the medium-haul routes, and we will start with our service to Singapore," unquote. Air India's turnaround depends heavily on the 787, since it currently has only 777s to serve medium-haul routes, which it says requires load factors over 90% to turn a profit. Once AI gets all the 787s it's ordered, it hopes to expand lucrative service to markets such as Malaysia, Hong Kong, Osaka, Jakarta, Dubai, and Frankfurt. As might be expected, given the 3-year delay on the Boeing side, the airline official added, quote, "Stiff negotiations are on," unquote. Air India is in tough shape. Management says Air India employees have got their salaries and productivity-linked incentive for 1 month, but admits, quote, "PLI for 2 months and salaries for 1 month are still due, and we will pay it as and when we get the money," unquote. Sonics Aircraft LLC has announced that the Subsonics Jet Aircraft Prototype, JSX-1, made its maiden flight Wednesday at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh. The Subsonics was piloted by Bob Carlton, an airshow performer and owner of Desert Aerospace LLC. The flight lasted about 14 minutes and focused on exploring the low end of the aircraft's speed envelope, including stalls and a low approach in the landing configuration. Subsonics designer and Sonics Aircraft LLC president John Monette said, quote, "It's an exciting day for Sonics. We have a test flight plan to expand the envelope of the aircraft, and we'll see where the project takes us from here," unquote. Carlton said after the flight, quote, "It was great. Flies like an airplane. The faster I went, the better it felt," unquote. Carlton was selected to fly the aircraft based on his experience pioneering light jet aircraft. Bob Carlton is best known for his airshow performances with the Super Salto jet sailplane and is the developer of the Bonus Jet 2-seat glider. The engines used on Carlton's aircraft are the PBS TJ-100, the same one used on the Subsonics. The tiny jet, given the tongue-in-cheek model name Subsonics before its public unveiling at Oshkosh in 2009, has been evolving since. The original engine was sourced from Microjet Engineering and was designed for radio-controlled model aircraft, but lacked an engine control unit or factory support and never did enter volume production. The Velcabetis PBS TJ-100 engine, which claims sales of 200 units so far as of December 2010, was then substituted, but damage to the plane during early taxi tests in June of 2010 dictated revisions to the landing gear configuration. While it shares elements of design philosophy with the other kits produced by Sonics, the company says the JSX-1 has no parts commonality with the rest of the line. There is still no firm commitment to bring the JSX-1 to market or timetable for doing so. U.S. Representative Frank Lobiondo, who's a New Jersey Republican, Tuesday introduced the Furloughed FAA Employees Compensation Act, which would grant U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood the authority to pay the salaries and related benefits of those federal employees who were furloughed during the partial shutdown of the FAA. The shutdown began at midnight on July 22nd and ended on August 5th. It affected about 4,000 employees nationwide. The funding would come from the Aviation Trust Fund, Lobiondo was joined by a partisan list of co-sponsors. The funding would come from the Aviation Trust Fund. Lobiondo was joined by a bipartisan list of co-sponsors. The Federal Communications Commission has put LightSquared's nationwide broadband proposal on hold until interference issues with the GPS system can be resolved. Broadcast and Cable Magazine reports that the commission has two sometimes opposing goals: to both protect GPS and promote the wireless service that FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski says would create jobs and lead to private investment in the billions of dollars. In addition, resolving the disparity in broadband data service availability between cities and rural areas, the so-called digital divide, has been a political goal of the current administration. The FCC says it cannot commit to any particular time frame for the matter to be resolved. LightSquared CEO Philip Falcone says the company plans to continue work with both the FCC and the GPS industry in an attempt to resolve the matter. Still ahead, the known crew member program gets underway at O'Hare. DOT announces fines against two charter companies. And what if you could issue your own TFRs? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 11th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has issued a preliminary report on the forced landing of a helicycle experimental helicopter on Saturday, August 6th, the final day of the Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention and fly-in at the PRA Mentone Airport in Indiana. PRA Director Tom Milton reported in an online forum that witnesses reported the pilot of the accident aircraft, quote, was flying low and making a sharp turn downwind. It looked as if a rapid application of power was needed to pretty up the maneuver. I was told by two helicopter pilot witnesses that at just that moment, the turbine was heard spooling down, unquote. In its preliminary report, the FAA, which reportedly did not visit the scene, commented only that the helicopter, quote, crashed in a bean field and rolled over, unquote. Witnesses say the pilot exited the aircraft, dazed but apparently uninjured. The FAA reports the aircraft was substantially damaged. WANE-TV cites the Kosciusko County Police Department in identifying the accident pilot as 61-year-old William Robert Hyde of Miami, Florida. The Helicycle is a single-seat helicopter built from a kit manufactured by Eagle R&D of Nampa, Idaho. The kit purchase includes a solar T-62 turbine engine, which gets blueprinted before delivery to the customer. Torque is limited by the belt drive clutch, and engine RPM is limited by an engine controller provided by the kit maker. In a forced landing incident last year in Illinois involving another Helicycle, the owner, PRA Secretary Stan Foster, reported that an abrupt reduction in collective pitch coming off a max performance takeoff resulted in a brief overshoot in engine RPM, which triggered an engine shutdown. That forced landing, also made from low altitude, resulted in a fast but successful run-on landing, in which the machine was undamaged. The Popular Rotorcraft Association, started in 1962 by Dr. Igor Benson of Benson Gyrocopter fame, is dedicated to the interests of builders and flyers of rotorcraft operated for personal, recreational, and educational use. ALPA, the Airline Pilots Association International, and ATA, the Air Transport Association of America, which represents major airlines, began operating the first test site for the known crew member program at Chicago O'Hare International Airport on Tuesday. The new program positively verifies pilot identity and employment status, allowing them to bypass screening lines for passengers. ALPA President Captain Lee Moak explains, quote, this enhanced screening process recognizes the extensive background checks pilots receive as part of their employment and, importantly, airline pilots' critical role and responsibility in securing their aircraft each and every time they fly, unquote. ATA President and CEO Nicholas Calio says the program needs to go a step further. Quote, "We urge the TSA to include flight attendants in the known crew member screening system so that they and the traveling public may also benefit," unquote. ALPA and ATA say it's their goal to make the program available to all U.S. airline pilots, and more than a dozen airlines so far have connected to the system. The program, which links airline employee databases, initially will be available only to pilots, but ALPA, like the ATA, has asked the TSA to include flight attendants. The trial phase for the first three known crew member access points started Tuesday at Chicago O'Hare. Four more access points are slated to open at Miami International Airport later this month, and then more coming later this year at airports including Boston Logan International, Washington Dulles, Minneapolis St. Paul, Phoenix Sky Harbor, and Seattle Tacoma International Airport. The U.S. Department of Transportation has levied fines against two companies for violating rules governing charter flights. AAI, Aviation Advantage Incorporated, was assessed a civil penalty of $150,000 for advertising flights in 2009 without listing the name of the charter operator or the airline operating the flights as required. DOT says the ads also failed to disclose that passengers would have to sign an operator-participant contract. The company also allegedly used Capital Airways, an operator that did not hold the required commercial license, for a number of charter flights in 2010. The department has already fined Capital Airways $175,000. Swift Air LLC was assessed a civil penalty of $100,000 for canceling a public charter flight June 17th, minutes before its scheduled departure. Under department rules, a charter operator may not cancel a public charter flight less than 10 days before scheduled departure unless it is physically impossible to operate the flight. DOT says the carrier had been aware for nearly a month of compliance concerns raised by the FAA and should have known it might not be able to operate that flight. CASA, Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority, lifted the suspension of Tiger Airways effective yesterday following a thorough investigation into safety issues. A new set of conditions has been imposed on Tiger Airways Australia's certificate. The agency says these conditions address key areas of operational importance within Tiger Airways and will underpin ongoing improvements in the airline's safety performance. Also, amendments to the airline's safety management system are required. CASA's Director of Aviation Safety, John McCormick, commented, quote, "Tiger Airways has cooperated with CASA's investigation and is to be credited for a constructive approach. CASA will be closely monitoring the operations of Tiger Airways through scheduled surveillance and regular spot checks. We will also be meeting regularly with the airline to review ongoing safety performance and compliance with conditions on the airline's operations," unquote. The suspension lasted over a month. And finally today, Rich Davidson, owner of Lee Bottom Flying Field in southern Indiana, is poking some fun at NORAD's scrambling of two F-16 fighters to intercept a 73-year-old lady in a J-3 Cub last week. As we reported here, poor Myrtle Rose was met by law enforcement after being escorted out of airspace near President Obama's 50th birthday party last Friday by a pair of F-16s. So Rich wrote on his blog, Nordo, that this Sunday he's taking, quote, "the first daring step for everyone. On Sunday, August 14th at 7 a.m. EST, Lee Bottom Flying Field will issue the first ever non-governmental TFR, from this point on to be known as a Myrtle Rose TFR. Furthermore, government representatives operating in the area who are not approved to enter this TFR should review the NORAD rules for interception. Pilots being joined unexpectedly by two vintage tail draggers should assume they have strayed into Myrtle Rose airspace and that they and their dirt-stained F-16s will be escorted out of the area," unquote. In his posting, Davis says his NOTAM is, quote, "to protect freedom-loving pilots eating ice cream and peaches from the intrusions of government," unquote. But he also writes that his larger point is that the presidential VIP TFRs are largely pointless, and that even the death of any president, quote, "would not bring collapse, nor would it bring anything but a short-term change to the stock market. It would ultimately reveal a country immensely capable of surviving such a perceived calamity," unquote. So, government aircraft, take note of the TFR. They might just scramble a couple of champs to escort you down the river. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.